Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Well, she wrote a book that we needed before she knew we needed it. But if you know Sarah Bamford Seidelman, that's not really going to come as much of a surprise. Her new book is called How Good Are You Willing to Let It Get? Daily Feel-Good Inspiration for Creatives, Healers, and Helpers. And Sarah joins us this morning to talk about it a little bit. Hey, Sarah, good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. So happy to be here.
So I got to ask you, when did you begin work on this book?
It was less than a year ago, kind of started with the 100 Days Project, which is, you know, where artists and creatives everywhere kind of do a, you know, you set an intention that you're going to do something every day for 100 days and you commit to it. And I decided to, that I was kind of missing my own spiritual connection time. I was getting busier and busier. And so I committed to visiting with my loving and compassionate spirit, Alice, who happens to be an elephant spirit. And ask her for a message that I could share with, you know, with people on Instagram and Facebook, which may sound like sacrilege, but if you enjoy spiritual work, you know, this just sounded like a really wonderful project for me. And it was, people really enjoyed it. And like, people were digging Alice's messages, and I was loving getting the time to spend with her to learn more from these, you know, these spiritual realities. Which, as you know, Lisa, it may all sound kind of wacky to people that, you know, and I know if I had been listening to myself 10 years ago talk like this on the radio, I probably would have been like, wow, things got really weird by 2020, Sarah, because I used to be a physician, you know, practicing down the road in Essentia. But things change, you know, and I had a big midlife sort of shift and now do this kind of work. And what I realized is one weekend I took a week off from my 100 days of Alice's messages because I had a retreat to run, and somebody emailed me and said, where's Alice's messages? It's Saturday and I'm waiting for her message. And I'm like, oh, wow, like people really want these and they need them. So when it was done, I decided to turn it into a whole book of daily inspiration. So it's sort of like a reader, like if you're a kind of person who sits in the morning quietly with coffee and some sort of spiritual book, this is kind of like that. So each day has a date and then a suggestion from Alice or a tip, and then a reflection from me, from my own life, maybe a story, maybe an insight. And then there's a little prayer, you know, to sort of, and some questions to get you thinking about your own life. And I thought, well, I could share today's from May 7th if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so from May 7th, the prompt, the theme is Serenity Now.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. So here's Alice's message. If you find yourself desperately wanting someone you care about to seek help or healing for themselves, you're in trouble. Trust that, just like you, that person has a direct line to the divine. Love them hard, but let them be. And then my reflection is, oh boy, for me, Alice's advice is harder than it looks, especially if the person in question is somebody I love dearly. I've had to learn through the school of hard knocks and 12-step recovery programs that I don't get to play God in other people's lives. The person I love is much more likely to be helped by me if I can simply love them and listen. Minding my own beeswax also says something powerful to the person I love. I believe in you. And then the question is there someone in your life you're trying to fix? How good are you at just listening? And then the prayer is, dear God, remind me that it's not my job to fix those that I love. They have you. Help me stay in my lane.
I had an insight as I listened
Excellent.
To that. And I love insights. I'm really fond of insights. And we are so driven, I think, and I like to think that our motivations are for the most part 100% spot on, that we want to help and we want to care and we love people. I think we are so driven by that motivation of I want to help that we offer solutions, we offer suggestions, and yet we may not realize that in essence what we're doing is undercutting that person's faith in themselves, and we're maybe telegraphing accidentally that we don't have faith in them.
Yes, yes. it is an excellent challenge, you know, like just take one day and refrain from offering any solutions to anybody for one day. Just try it, or try it for an hour if you're home with kids. I mean, obviously not little kids. You have to guide them. But I mean, if you're working in an office or, you know, working from home or such a thing, because it takes a lot of discipline. It's so delicious to offer our, like, our nuggets of goodness. Or we can always say something like, would you like my input on this? That's another polite way to ask people. And then at least you've asked if they do want it.
There is a sense of respecting people and the fact that they may have already traveled down this mental road in trying to find solutions. I'm thinking about several different messages going on this morning in my own life about dog rescue and about radio and about some other things. And sometimes that problem solving is something that you're kind of actively engaged in with people. But by asking a question, you at least let them tell you, I've already covered that ground, so that you're not, well, did you think to make a phone call? And then they end up going, how stupid do you think I am? And now I'm not only frustrated without answers, and now my friend thinks I'm an idiot. So
exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the different topics that you and Alice explored over your 100 days. Now, is this book a 365-day, you know, kind of like the meditation? Okay, so you had to expand it from your original, obviously, 100 days and add a bunch of stuff. Okay.
It's a fairly, it's a small book, but it's 400 pages. So, yeah, each page, each date has its own page. So you can use it a little bit also like a, you can obviously open it and, like, use it as almost like a I Ching rejuvenation tool. You know, you could be like, I have a problem right now, I needed help, and just crack it open to a random page. We say random, but Lisa, some of us have started to realize that nothing is random. And see what shows up there. You know, that's another way to play with it. But I wanted to create a book like this because I feel like we all need encouragement to sit quietly with ourselves in the morning, because I think it's such a powerful time to set up your day, to sit in quiet stillness, contemplating things. And little books like this have served me so much. And so it's kind of like my gift back to the world from all the little books like it that I have just gained so much beauty and insight and calm and peace from.
Sarah, I'm curious, as the events of the last couple of months have unfolded, and as our world as we know it has turned upside down, inside out, and sideways, and it began with just disruptions in our daily routine and fears of the unknown, and has since evolved into some really heart-wrenching, extremely difficult issues that we are trying to balance in our private lives, that our local governments, our state, our country are trying to prioritize. As this time has unfolded in front of us, tell me how you have used or not used, as the case may be, the information that you gathered from your book. I'm guessing that you don't sit down with your own book necessarily and read it. And yet the information that you got, the insights that you got, how are you using those right now when all of a sudden somebody's turned up the heat under our anxieties and also under everyone who considers themselves a creative, a healer, a helper, or all of the above?
Yeah, well, ever since I've gotten my actual copy of the book, I have been looking at it just for my own personal, like, curiosity to see what the message is, how it feels for me to read it now that it's all out and, you know, in print and finished. And that's been a really wonderful process as a creative to go, oh, you know, this is so fun to see it. And these are helping me like today. Wow. Spot on. I still need it. Just because I wrote it doesn't mean sometimes we write these books for ourselves, right? To remind ourselves of what is important. But I'm seeing this time, you know, as this amazing opportunity for us all to go on this sort of inner quest, you know, collectively and individually, to turn inward towards ourselves, to ask ourselves, like, why are we here and what kind of world do we want to create, so that at some point we can turn back into the world. I'm not personally quite there yet, turn back outward and begin to plant the seeds. Well, maybe I'm planting seeds of this new world that I want to see, which is one that's filled with justice and caring for each other, and not just out for the individual, but, you know, just, I think the biggest thing of the quarantine has taught us, like, we have to do these things in order to protect the most vulnerable, the people who are, you know, don't have anybody to speak for them, you know, the elderly, those who are sick and isolated and alone. And are we willing to endure difficulties, isolation, financial stress, whatever it is, for the greater good? Those are questions I think we're all having to wrestle with. And there's just so many. I know at my own house, lots of things coming up so that we can deal with them emotionally in my family, with my friendships, with my children, with my partner. So I think it's a really powerful time to kind of almost like imagining ourselves all going into this yurt, you know, to be with ourselves, to think about, you know. I think somebody said once that it was Mother Earth putting us all in a timeout, which that sounds sort of punishing and shaming, and I don't know if it's that. I think, but it is a big invitation to be in retreat.
Well, and, the original idea of a timeout was exactly, well, not only was it to give you the opportunity to calm down and reset, but it was to kind of contemplate actions and consequences. Yes. And from that standpoint, we, well, those of us who are privileged to have that ability, have this time now to contemplate consequences.
Yes. I think there was this mystic, his name is Muji, and he said, all over the planet, you know, the skies are clearing, there's no exhaust, the freeways are empty, and the only one who could ever do this all across the planet is God, you know, or whatever you want to call it, the universe. There's something greater at work here that, I mean, everybody is baffled and blown away, and it's just, it's so shocking and global, and what else could it be but the great mystery, you know?
Sarah, how would you encourage people that are really struggling now, that are really stressed? They maybe have a relative who's ill that they cannot be with.
Yeah.
They have a compromised immune system and they are frightened. They're out of work and they want to get back to work. They're terrified about finances. They realize that every week that goes by, they're a little further behind the eight ball. Sometimes it's really, really hard to force your mind into a place where you can do that reset kind of thing.
Yeah.
How would you recommend that people try to wrestle, struggle, whatever it's, you know, or gently encourage, whatever it's going to take? How would you recommend that people approach, how can I get out of this mindset long enough to just try to let a little bit of light and air in around the edges?
Yeah, it's really, I mean, the first step in every single one of those scenarios, like, put your hand on your heart and take some deep breaths, like, connect to your body, connect to your breath. A lot of times all this stuff is mental mind angst. You know, we're in the future, we're in the past, we're concerned about what might happen or what might not happen. And so to really just connect with that breath, connect with ourselves. Then second thing is connect with somebody else, call somebody, text somebody, talk it out. You know, that's one thing, like we are not alone. even if you feel like you're alone, you know, to find some way to connect with somebody. And in that case of somebody who's got somebody sick in the hospital who may be dying, just to know that you can be with that person. And how to do that is to, again, connect with your breath, put your hand on your heart, and just begin to send your love to that person. Let them know what you would be saying to them at bedside. And trust that that can be transmuted to them, you know. We are these, like, walking, talking, sacred altars, guys, and we all have this ability. It's not just in, you know, the few spiritual masters or something like that. Every human can do this. That's what our heart is for. And the final thing I would do is also would be, like, if you have the capacity to get out in nature, or if you have the capacity to sing, dance, paint, make something, create something with your hands, do that, because all these activities are life-giving. These, when we make these creative acts, we forget about, in the moment of doing these things, we are get into flow, we get into connection with what I believe is like sacred, or you want to call it the universe. But that's how, it's only by being willing to sort of be taken over by these creative activities. Dancing is really good, like turn on a song and just shake, like shake your arms, like you're doing the hokey pokey, but like shake out all your limbs. Do that for 3 minutes and see how you feel after you do that. That's one thing I've learned from the animals. You know, the animals, when they get, you know, when a leopard chases a, say, a rabbit, you know, and the rabbit, you know, survives, they're traumatized, right, by that leopard. It's terrifying to be, like, thinking you might be the leopard's breakfast. But what they do is they don't hang on to that memory of being scared of the leopard and fearing for their life. What they do is they shake. And they shake and shake and shake until finally they sort of reset their nervous system, and then they just go off and do the next thing. You know, they don't hang on to this stuff, and so shaking it off can be another wonderful thing.
Actually, I learned that from medicine, because as you know, on Grey's Anatomy, Meredith and Christina would dance it out. They would turn the music up really loud, and they'd dance it out. And I think that's
so
as good a prescription as any. Sarah,
it really is.
Thank you so very, very much for joining us this morning. It's always such a treat to have you on the show. Thanks again.
Thank you, Lisa.
Bye. Sarah Bamford-Seidelman is the author of a new book that is coming out at the beginning of next month. It's called How Good Are You Willing to Let It Get? Daily Feel-Good Inspiration for Creatives, Healers, and Helpers. Minnesota Reads on KUMD is produced with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.